So I now declare the meeting open at 5:04. So apologies from councillor Kevin House. We have no other apologies. All councillors are here. So acknowledgement of country. I begin today by acknowledging the Palaetoria Panahia past peoples, the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today, and I pay my respects to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples here today. Moving on to the confirmation of the minutes, which is on page 8, that the council receives and confirms the minutes. Last ordinary meeting, I'd like somebody to move, please. Somebody to second. Councillor Dunman is the mover. Seconder, Councillor Loader, thank you. Any discussion on the minutes, councillors? If not, put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
That is unanimous, thank you. Declarations of interest, General Manager.
Yes, we have two today, Mayor. We have one from yourself for closed item 17.2, and we have one from Councillor Loader for item 15.3, which is a lease.
Thank you. Council workshop reports is on page 9. Council's last met on workshop, which was held on 24th of March. The report is included in the agenda. We then move on to page 11, which is the Mayor's and Council's reports, which is also Council acknowledgements and announcements. Are there any Council announcements to make? Council Sinfield.
Yes, just in addition, the last Carrick Hall Committee meeting of the night of the last Council and the Blackstone Heights Community News Association meeting on the first Wednesday of April, just gone, which was the first of April.
Thank you. Anything else, councillors? No, move on to page 13, which is petitions. No petitions were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. Thank you. Page 13 in the agenda is community representations. No community representations were received for this meeting. Are there any from the gallery? Take that as no. We then move on to item 10, which is public question time. So public questions with notice. Page 14, there were public questions with notes received from the last council meeting were included in the agenda. 10.2, public questions without notice. If we move into public question time, I'll ask you if you want to ask a question. You're allowed 2 questions, 3 minutes. I will ding the bell at 2 minutes and 30, and then at 3 minute time, I will ask you to cease and desist and sit down if possible. Some people go past that, but anyway, see what sort of mood I'm in, I guess. I'm just about to get my timer ready, so just bear with me. I'm not playing with my phone. Have any questions from the gallery? I'm all set to go.
Hi, everybody. Lizzie Fleming, resident, 45 William Street, Westbury. Afternoon, everyone. 2 things, just as a member of the public at the gallery. Can I just remind councillors to really make an effort to speak into microphones? There's 3 in particular who sit close down this end. It's really, really hard for us to hear. That's just one request. That's not a question, Lauren. So the real reason I'm here, I'd like whether or not council can clarify the conditions under which a councillor may abstain from voting and how abstaining without explanation supports transparency and helps our community to understand councillor decision-making and how our councillors who choose to abstain are acting in the best interests of our community.
Thank you for your question, Lucy. From my point of view, I never try to abstain because it's a vote in the negative. And if I do decide to vote in the negative, I usually try and give an explanation for my reasons, but I can't comment for other councillors. So I don't know whether other councillors want to answer, make any comment or not, or whether we go to the GM.
Yep.
Open up for councillors. Yeah, we're cutting each other out. Open up for councillors to have a reply if you wish, Councillor Dunman.
That's fine. I mean, my voting record's very clear. I have never abstained. I believe I'm elected to make decisions, for better or worse. And so, yeah, I've always either voted yes or no to agenda items.
General Manager, just
Look, I just wanted to comment, I guess, from a regulatory perspective, Lucy. So the voting at council meetings is governed by the local government meeting procedures. Councillors have the options to vote in favour, against, or to abstain. And to abstain is a vote in the negative, so it's actually a vote against the motion. So I guess technically that's the options the councillors have.
Over and again from councillors, Councillor Loader.
Thank you, Mayor. To quote former councillor Lockie Dornoff, and I think I'm doing it correctly, he said, I wasn't elected to make to abstain, I was elected to make decisions, and I think that sums it up.
Thank you. Any other? Councillor
Cameron? Sure. Yeah, I think I'll just from my own personal perspective, I try, particularly if it is a item that has a lot of interest in the community, I always like to give an explanation about why I would be voting either way. I don't think I've ever abstained from anything. And I also, though, sometimes I may not comment on an item and vote away, but it could be that someone else around the table has already made the point that I agreed with, and I didn't think anyone needed to hear my voice again. But yeah, thank you for the question though, Lucy.
Any other comments, councillors? No.
May I ask one more question?
Yeah, I just want to add a little bit there. I do find it a little bit frustrating when councillors may vote or abstain and don't give a reason why. I think that's because as chair, I guess I do try and understand the way councillors are thinking, what they're up to, and it is a bit frustrating when I have no reason as to which way they vote, but it is their own personal problem. Thank you. Yeah, another question?
That comes out what you just said. So, thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from the floor? The gallery? No? I'll close question time. So, for those who ask questions today, could you either email a written copy or on the questions day or by tomorrow morning? There is a clipboard with forms and pens in the reception. Moving on to page 16, which is Councillor Question Time. Councillor questions we noticed from the last council meeting are included in the agenda. We then move on to page 17, which is Councillor Questions Without Notice. Are there any Councillor Questions Without Notice? Take that as a no. Okay. Item 12, Councillor Notices of Motion, which is page 18. There were no notice of motions tabled at this meeting. Are there any from the table? Take that as a no. So moving on then for discussions of items in section 13 of the agenda, Council acts as a planning authority. So today we have planning authority reports, which is PA250122, which is 611 Porters Bridge Road. We have Mr. Tony Creswell to speak to this item today. Tony, if you wish to come up and address again, Tony, you have 3 minutes or thereabouts to address the councillors.
Wardens and councillors, thanks for the opportunity to speak. I had a meeting with the council staff here the other day to talk about the conditions as pertaining, and they wanted us to agree to a contribution to improve the road down there, which I don't agree with. I'm pleased they decided to approve the capacity of the quarry, which is only small anyway. But I don't agree with that. I think it's putting a condition. Well, they couldn't give me an answer to my questions on the costs, so I failed to see how we can agree to a condition with no costs involved. In my view, to put a condition on a thing like that is virtually a form of extortion to force you to comply, and double dipping, really, because over the last 10 years, well, the councils, I believe, can get money from federal and state governments for road construction and repairs through the heavy vehicle fuel tax and registration costs. So it is really double dipping. Over the last 10 years, my company's paid over $6 million through the system. So, you know, the way costs are these days, it's very difficult to make a dollar anyway. We've used Porters Bridge Road for 30 years without incident. There are many quarries in this area that have a similar road access, like Mole Creek Quarry, for instance, out at the Longworks. They've got about, probably shift 170,000 tonne out of there annually, which, just to compare it with our quarry, which is probably 40 movements a day, and a movement is one truck in is one movement, one truck's out to second one. Union Bridge Quarry is the same out the Union Bridge. Westwood Quarry sells about 80 to 100,000 tonne a year, 26 movements a day on very similar road conditions. Over the last several years, there's been major upgrades to those roads out there at no cost to the quarry. So I think it's a little bit unfair. Our quarry increase is going from 4 movements a day to 10, which is very minor. The road is narrow, but it's not an issue. Yeah, so that's about all I've got to say, really.
Yeah, thanks for that, Tony. Obviously, we can't enter into debate through this, but through the process that will come before us, maybe some of those questions that you've just sort of asked will be answered in the debate. Thank you for that. Are there any other speakers from the gallery on this subject? Yeah, please.
Yeah, Nick Van Amstel from Reedy Marsh, 126 Farrells Road. Firstly, my concern is that River Road is an alternative route to the quarry for the heavy-duty vehicles. And the temptation is that it may be shorter, quicker, cheaper for these heavy vehicles. The application examined in the traffic impact assessment, the use of Porter's Ridge Road only, there's no assessment of River Road. River Road is not safe for these heavy-duty vehicles to use, and certainly heavy vehicles on that road will put the local residents, the current users of the road, their safety at risk. I'd like to thank the planner for recommending that heavy vehicles are directed to use only an upgraded Porter's Bridge Road, in other words, made safe. However, I'm concerned how this direction will be implemented and enforced, and what the consequences of non-compliance will be.
Thank you, Nick, for that. Any other speakers on this subject before we move to the motion? Take that as no. Okay, thank you. Moving on this, somebody like to move, and then somebody like to second this motion, please. Councillor Cameron is the mover. Seconder? Councillor Dudman, thank you. Councillor Cameron is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I think Councillor Dudman said last month it felt a little bit deja vu because we have had a couple of these similar applications in recent times. And I think previously I may have spoken a lot more on my thoughts on how I got to that process. But again, going back to the couple of parts that council assess, which are, I guess in the scheme of things, not... It probably feels like not a lot compared to some of the other things that the applicant's been through before they've got to this proposal. So we're talking about design and layout and the traffic generation. And we have had some really robust conversations in the past around traffic and how that road operates and what's safe on that road. And honestly, I can see from the applicant and I've thought it a lot. There's a lot of unknowns there. But I do think it's important that we go through these processes and work through it. It is important that road's safe, and we've discussed it a lot in the previous applications. I do think, though, I have noted that the road, there are parts of the road, it's different in different spots, and it's at different levels in different spots, and council, I believe... has flagged some areas of that needs upgrading regardless of what happens with this application or any other application. But I will support this application today. I do understand that there's some difficulties to come, but I do think that a further conversation will be able to help get some clarity for both the applicant and the road users as well.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Dudman is the second of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I will also be supporting the application from the outset. I do agree there is a lot on in Reedy Marsh at the moment, and I can understand why the community there would be feeling a bit disenfranchised with, the processes, especially when they are raising environmental concerns and the EPA is overruling those concerns, making their claim that the applications meet acceptable standards. As I've said with the last two applications that came through for these matters, for me it's about ensuring that the road is safe and that it meets appropriate standards to ensure that is the case. That is what the conditions that have been put on this permit will allow, so that we are appropriately upgrading the road and ensuring that safety is paramount whilst also allowing for these commercial activities to occur. In reference to the question about why a contribution should be made, yes, there are different ways that funding occurs for roads, but I think it can be accepted that there is a big difference between the regular use of someone who lives there residentially and the use of heavy vehicles when they are acting in a for-profit situation. And so I have no qualms. I had the same instance with AVX and with Bolters. With expecting a company that is seeking to make profit from the resources to make a contribution for the road that they are using. It is a fact that with an increase in traffic and heavy vehicle traffic, the road will deteriorate at a rapid rate, and a more rapid rate than it would if the application wasn't presented before us. So I, as I said before, I made no apology with putting it on the ABX application, the same with the Walters application, and the same with this application. I think it is fair. I do think there is a genuine concern about what the contribution from Crestwells will be. However, the reason it is, I guess, a bit up in the air at the moment is because in a very unusual circumstance, we have three applications coming in at the same time to upgrade the same road. And so there will be some movement in terms of the overall cost and what is a fair amount for each applicant to contribute should those three applications process through. So I will be supporting the application as it is standing for us. And again, thank you to the staff for their work on this. It is a fair bit of work to do these applications, and to have three in such short succession is certainly a testament to your work ethic.
Thanks, Councillor Dunbarton. Councillor Lowder.
Thank you, Mayor. In relation to Nick's question about enforcing the turning to the left, is it, along Porter's Bridge Road as opposed to River Road, I think Nick's question was around, is that enforceable? And what happens if it's not respected? Can we ask that, please?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. As with all conditions, I suppose just to let you know that we won't be out there every day monitoring the situation. It's not reasonable for council to do that. We would be relying perhaps on the locals along River Road to notify council if they do feel that there are more truck movements than there had been in the past, and then we'll make contact with the different operators and try to quantify exactly which operator and which truck movements and why the trucks are going out that way. We would then follow it up with the conditions and the permit and see if any enforcement action is required, but hopefully by making contact with the operator, we'll be able to work through the issue and rectify it.
Thanks, Councillor Lowder. Open up for any other discussion, councillors. Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This reminds me of the one we dealt with a month ago or so, 2 months ago, which is very similar. I'm not happy with the way the maintenance levy's been calculated. I feel that's very difficult for a company to budget with that. I think, and it's based on the total tonnage, not just the increase. And then there could be years where there's nothing to spend, and then there could be years where a bridge needs to be replaced and it's into the millions and you wouldn't know it was coming until the year has passed. So I find all that a little confusing. I also wonder why we couldn't have a slip road that goes from Porter's Bridge Road to onto the eastbound lane of Bass Highway. It would seem that that would be a very very simple little road to put in, very low cost. Whether it went through the truck stop or entered the road directly, but that would take a lot of vehicles off the Meander Valley Road. It seems a simple little, it's only a couple hundred metres of road to fix a problem. And I also have concerns with the residents of Reedy March that, you know, a couple of years ago wouldn't have expected all this activity to have happened, but it has, which is an interesting thing in itself.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. Open up Councillor Lowder again.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I prepared something, so I might just... So most members do not write representations lightly or flippantly. It is a significant undertaking. For Reedy Marsh residents, they have been compelled to put pen to paper three times in the last 3 years. Who better to judge the safety of a road than those who navigate it every single day? While road improvements are proposed for this expansion, even with them, there will remain a stretch of winding, undulating and forested terrain for heavy and light vehicles to share. We must be mindful of the cumulative impact of truck movements. If all three proposed developments in this small area are active simultaneously, this will place a huge strain on the one-lane bridge and the intersection of Porter's Bridge Road and Meander Valley Road at Exton. Tasmania needs building materials to build houses and other large, perhaps southern developments. Have the conditions on this application got the right balance of allowing the local business to move forwards with demand for their quality product while ensuring the safety of Meander Valley residents who simply want a safe way to travel to and from their homes. I'm not really sure that these conditions are going to do that, and for that reason I think my conscience is not going to let me support this motion today.
Thank you, Councillor Wader. Open up for any discussion, Councillor Sinfield.
In relation to Mr Creswell's comment about the heavy vehicle contribution they're required to make, A, is it publicly available, but do we have a quantum of dollars as to what this council receives annually from that source, just municipal-wide, not being specific to any particular operation or anything else? Because I think I know what the figure might be. But.
Yep. So the Mr. Creswell refers to the heavy vehicle motor tax. The revenue that our council receives from that for all of our road network is between $50,000 and $60,000. So extremely small proportion in relation to the amount of money that we spend on our road network.
That's per annum figure at the moment. I think it's actually been going backwards, hasn't it, over time, to what it was about ago?
That's fluctuated a little bit. It's a state government payment, so.
Thank you, Councillor. Question to the planners then on from Mr. Creswell's query about roadworks having to be done because of this application compared to other gravel pits or quarries in the area. I guess I understand potentially why we're looking at this because of the actual amount of truck movements, ABX, boulders, and potentially Creswell's as well. But with all of our development applications that come before us from your traffic study, that's where we look at traffic movements and road wear and tear. We do this on every TA that comes forward for quarries, yeah. So we're not being out of sync, or we're not setting ourselves up for years to come by actually doing this on this particular stretch of road. That's a funny question, mate. I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to. Sure, Jan.
Yeah, I just feel I need to say something on that because I think the Deputy Mayor spoke when moving the motion around council would do some work regardless. I just wanted to clarify that the work that was identified when we received the first application for Boys Bridge Road, we had an assessment done from a traffic engineer to identify some risk. That work's been done. That was around vegetation removal and improving site distances. So as far as the risk that was identified at that time, that work has been completed. The work that's been talked about in this assessment and the condition that is being proposed to council when the decision's been formed here, the debate, is around upgrades and maintenance required for the development. So nothing beyond the assessment of the application that has been received for this particular application. Because I really just don't want to speak about it any more broadly than that, yeah. Because the conversation is really limited to the assessment of the quarry application that's with us today. So the work that is being suggested in the permit conditions is required for this application. So, but I might pass over to the team leader, engineering, or the town planner.
I suppose I was just going to add that each application is based on its, or assessed on its own merits, so we can't really compare apples and oranges as such. And we're also dealing with a Tasmanian planning scheme as well. So again, a lot of the quarries that you may be familiar with had been assessed under previous planning schemes, so there's different rules in that regard.
Thanks for the response. And I'm aware, Jan, that I need to focus on this development application, not others that have been before us. But I guess for the residents that are out there that are concerned about overall truck movements on Porter's Bridge and also Reedy's Marsh, it's come to the fore because of the applications that we've had before us in the last 2 or 3 months. There's no doubt the trucks have got bigger, they carry more, but also, as the GM said, work was identified that we should do with the first ABEX, and we've identified that, and we have to upgrade the road, which is to make it safer, which is our ultimate goal. So I will be supporting the motion as it stands at the moment, so I'll put that on the table. Open up for any other discussion, councillors. Councillor Simpson.
Question? We've done an assessment on what has to happen in particular in relation to where ABX proposal would come out onto the road around the bridge, essentially, or where Walters come out. That's had a certain cost or been done internally. We're now, if this goes ahead, to determine what the maintenance contribution and any capital upgrade needs to be done for the overall distance round to Creswell's entrance, 6 odd kilometres. Do we have any idea of what the... So there'll be a cost to undertake that work. And so, A, what the quantum of that might be. But if, for example, as I understand it, this is essentially like a two-part process where we may or may not approve the actual development application today, we're then going to go away and have discussions as to what the proponent would need to contribute, if anything, to the road upgrade and the ongoing maintenance. If we don't come to an agreement over that figure, so it could be hundreds of thousands of dollars, whatever it might be, and they walk off and say, no, I'm not entering into a Part 5 agreement, then we've paid our money as a council to effectively work out what the upgrade of the road might be to bring it to that standard, which we might not have otherwise done, and you can multiply that in a sense by the three applications before us, that one's already approved, one subject to court proceedings, etc. So I'm just wanting some flesh around the idea of what that, you know, the quantum of dollars is involved in doing that, and is there any other way of getting to that point so that the proponents, etc., have some level of confidence as to what that figure might be and what they're in for, basically. And as I say, if it doesn't happen, the cost to the ratepayer in general.
So a few things in there. I guess there's a permit condition recommended that the applicant would enter into a Part 5 agreement with council that'll have its own right of appeal. So the applicant, if council cannot form an agreement or is the applicant is objects to the conditions that council proposes in that Part 5, has a separate appeal process. So, council has paid out costs, you're right. We've a number of times over sought traffic engineering advice around Poys Bridge Road, so that's correct. Council's also sought engineering advice around potential road upgrade for that. That's a concept level, it's not a detailed design level. Detailed design would be required for any upgrades to have a dollar value. So where you've asked what the quantum of funds would be, we don't have a quantum of funds today because we don't have agreement on what the upgrade work required would be. So I think it's been referred to a number of times in this conversation. There's been two previous approvals by our council as a planning authority on Porter's Bridge Road. Both of those have been appealed. So there's some uncertainty around two approvals being fulfilled. And again today, council will form a decision. The decision that council forms today will have its appeal rights. So there's no certainty that any of the permits will be completed. So I guess I'm not trying to dodge the dollar value question, but they are reasons why we can't give Mr. Creswell an answer on the dollar value today. But we are certainly, if the council decision is made as moved, going to be working with him around what that work, required work for the permit would be and what the cost would be.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Can I ask that?
One supplementary.
The Part 5 agreement, does it go to the extent of, so we will go away, if this gets approved, we go away and do the science behind what the road should look like, should be, and how it gets maintained year on year. Do we then have two elements to the Part 5 agreement? One is a basic conversation about whether the proponent agrees with the standard, if you like, that it needs to be at and on an ongoing basis, and the calculation of their contribution to that, or is it just simply we've determined what the road needs to be, and then they either agree or don't agree to the contribution? So is it a twofold participation in that, or just the we're telling you it's X dollars to upgrade it, and that's Y dollars to maintain it year in, year out.
So, as I sort of said, it'll have its own appeal rights. So, council will work to a Part 5 agreement that will propose to the applicant if it's approved. If there were an appeal on that, our council will engage its own professional expertise to an appeal process, as would the applicant. So, it will go through the independent assessment through an appeal process. So I guess we would provide our evidence, as would the applicant, to perform a position. I guess I should probably also say that our advice is TAS Cattle, you know, the appeal process can't compel council to spend X amount of money. So we need to be a willing party to contribute to the upgrade of Porter's Bridge Road also, which at the moment, the previous two decisions our council has said that we're willing to contribute to what that road upgrade looks like. But same as Mr. Creswell, there is financial risk to council around that work and the infrastructure work that is required to maintain a safe road network. So, there has to be some level of negotiation, but we would seek independent.
Yes, councillors, any other discussion, councillors?
There is no. Councillor Dunman, second on the motion.
Look, we've spent a lot of time on this issue, as we have the previous ones, and as we should, because this is a massive issue for the Reedy Marsh community and for the local businesses that are applying here. I fully understand why questions would be brought forward about the quantum of the costs under a Part 5 agreement. However, in the interest of fairness, and I think in a standard that the community would expect and accept from us, we have said with the AVX application that it is appropriate for them to make a contribution to the upgrade of the road because there is an increase in heavy vehicle traffic. With the Walters Quarry, we have told them that we expect a contribution for the upgrade of the road on the basis that there is an increase in heavy vehicle traffic. To then come to the third similar application and to look at changing that position or questioning whether it is appropriate, I think that doesn't pass the pub test. It is clear that where there is a large increase in heavy vehicle traffic that degrades the road at a quicker rate that is occurring because of a commercial activity, it is reasonable to expect a contribution for road upgrades that are required and the maintenance thereafter. So I fully support the Part 5 agreement that is included in this, and I would encourage my other councillors to vote the same way on that basis in the interest of fairness and standardised expectations of our community.
Councillor Dunn, Councillor Cameron's move with the motion.
Thank you. Yes, this is consistent with other decisions we've made, and I think, you know, listening to everybody around the table, I think we all do agree that the road, the safety of the road is really important and that it does need to be upgraded, and I'm sure there's going to be further conversations around how, what and who and all of that sort of stuff. But yes, I am also happy to support it as on the basis that it is today. So
very good. All right. I shall put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
It is Johnson, Cameron, Cronshaw, Dudman, Smedley, Sinfield, against, Temple and Loader. Thank you. Motion is passed. We are moving on then to PA26001, which is 15 Mount Valley Road, Carrick. Do we have any speakers from the gallery? Those that want to leave, please feel free to leave. Page 368.
Hello everyone, my name is Michael Banaski. I'm the principal at Owned Architecture and Design. I'm the architect for this dwelling. Also property owner at 91 Country Club Avenue, Prospect. First I'd like to pass on my apologies for my client. He's unable to attend today due to family illness. I'd like to thank the planners and council for the recommendation for approval today. This has been designed as part of the planning scheme and to the local area plan. The planning scheme indicates density heights, and we've tried to make the best of the opportunities on site and trying to keep mindful of the neighbouring properties. We agree to the fair and reasonable. We welcome the representations put forward as their positive community input and their positive voice. We believe we've designed this as a positive contribution in working with the state planning scheme and the local area plan. It should also be noted that we had consultation with the two adjoining neighbours, designs working through the process there, and they did not present any representations. I also had in-depth discussions with the southern neighbour, the church. They also had no objections from what was put forward. So today I kindly seek your endorsement. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Michael. Any other speakers from the floor?
Sorry, hi everybody. My name is Glenn Raisbell, I'm on Meander Valley Road. I was completely unprepared for this as I thought my wife was going to speak here today. We just wanted to say all the... I don't understand the layouts, all that sort of stuff that was discussed, but my understanding is this wouldn't pass the pub test, given there is currently the Carrick plan being discussed tomorrow night, but we're being asked which will restrict the size of these sorts of developments to, I believe, blocks with sort of 600, 650 square metres for these sorts of houses to go on. But this is going before the council for approval tonight, before the Carrick plan. We've seen a couple of other of these been approved, and it just seems to me, and others through discussion, but unfortunately nobody's turned up tonight, that there's a number of these being pushed through before the Carrick plan is actually going to have any sort of grounding or substance whatsoever. Whether somebody knows something we don't, I don't know, but before the Carrick plan comes in, you know, Meander Valley Road through the precinct, the village precinct of Carrick, you know, could end up having a dozen, 15 of these before the Carrick plan even comes in, preventing those. So to me, the whole timing around this doesn't pass the pub test. I don't know if I have anything else to go on, but looking at the development just a little bit further down where they've put five or six places on one block, you know, the residents there are already starting to park on the nature strip and the road parking for places like that where you're having three-bedroom, four-bedroom places that are only getting one or two car parks. That's all I've got to say. It doesn't make sense for the village zoning of Carrick to be accepting places like this when the plan hasn't even been, a meeting hasn't been had with the town, which is due for tomorrow night. So, thanks for listening.
Thank you. Any other speakers from the floor? Take that as no. Somebody like to move this item? Councillor Dudman, thank you. Seconder? Councillor Cameron, thank you. Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. I certainly don't think that this application meets the expectations of the community in Carrick. I think that's fair to say. To the comment from the representative, in terms of these applications coming through while there is discussion about the structure plan, that is unfortunately the regular process. We can't halt developments or apply what could be a future structure plan to what is currently in legislation and what we are bound to work under. So I completely understand and appreciate that the timing is not ideal, but we are bound with what we are dealing with today. In terms of the application, again, thank you to the representatives, the staff who have come forward today. I personally hate this application. I think it is a terrible layout of properties that are far too close together. I don't think it is appropriate for the character of Carrick, and there is no part of me that wants to approve this application today. And I think the community will be angry about this application, and they have every right to be. I fully respect that it meets all the guidelines of the planning legislation, and I hold no grudge against the applicant for putting forward what is an application that meets all the necessary guidelines and should be approved. But I am angry that our planning scheme that is administered by the state government allows for applications of this nature where the density is so high in what is a village, a rural community, where there wouldn't ordinarily, or you wouldn't expect to ordinarily see such density. I have looked through this application and I have tried to find a way to reject this application today because I don't think it meets the pub test. Unfortunately, under the planning scheme, under what we have to go by, I don't have any options. There are five clauses that can be looked at in terms of site coverage for private open spaces, sunlight to private open space, frontage fences, pedestrian access, sensitivity is within an attenuation area. All minor performance criteria that aren't fully breached, and there is nothing substantive there to reject this application. And as frustrating as that is, it is a case. I could make myself feel better by voting against this today, but it would go to TASCAT, it would be approved anyway, and all I would have done is spent $20,000, $30,000 of our ratepayers' money on a frivolous and pointless court action. I'm angry that this application is okay under the current planning scheme. I am bound by that planning scheme and I will be voting for it, but I understand that there will be many community members in Carrick who are frustrated and who are angry tonight, and my sympathies are with them because I do not believe that our current planning scheme allows councillors to adequately take into account the concerns of community members when dealing with applications that will affect the area in which they're living, will affect their amenities, and will affect the nature and, I guess, the style of their community, which for Carrick is a quaint village community. So I will be supporting this because it is the legally correct thing to do in terms of my role as a planning authority, but I do so with a great deal of reluctance because although it meets every acceptable solution in order to enable it to pass, looking at that plan, it just does not seem appropriate for Carrick.
Thank you, Councillor Dunman. Councillor Cameron, is the second motion.
Thank you. Yes, okay, where do I go after that, Councillor Dunman? Look, I must admit, when I first saw this application come through, I felt a bit flat because I don't particularly love it myself, and I knew full well that the community of Carrick wouldn't be overly thrilled when they saw it either. But in saying that, thank you for coming along and saying that you spoke to the neighbours. That's excellent, actually, and I wish more people would do that because I think you probably read from a lot of the representations, there's a lot of questions that would have been solved by having some conversations. And so, you know, any developer out there, I really do encourage them to have those conversations with their community because we are making decisions that really have huge effects on people's lives and how they live. And I'm very conscious and aware of that. But look, as Councillor Dunman said, there are a few performance criteria that it triggers, and you know, thank you, Nooshin, because you've explained this to me. This will be the third time now, but you know, I've looked what the sensitive use in an attenuation area. That's the speedway. You know, half of Carrick lives around the speedway, so there's very little that can be done from a council point of view to councillor point of view today to make any changes to this. It's not my preference to see this kind of development occurring, but it fits the criteria. And as for the question around, you know, what's happening today versus tomorrow, we are assessing something on the planning scheme that we have now, and what might happen in the future is different. So I will support today's application and again encourage any developer to make sure they have the conversations with their community because it is really important, and I think that's probably all I have to say.
Thank you, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Lover.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Councillors Dutman and Cameron. I agree with what you're saying. I don't think it's very attractive, but it does fit the planning scheme. I think the road safety issues are very important to think about from the community's point of view, but not from this development. Because if you look at that road, there's a yellow line on the opposite side to this development, then there's a single line and a dotted line. So it's already, there's nowhere to park. And if you actually go onto Google and take your little yellow man down and have a look, you can see a car parked on the nature strip. So, you know, it's already happening and there isn't even a development in place yet. So I think our scheme is just not keeping track with parking. Our cars are getting bigger and the car parking spaces, I wouldn't want to try and put my big car in one of those spaces. So I don't like it either. I don't like the fact that there's no pedestrian access. There's not much space for private open space, but there's enough according to the scheme. It's ugly. The people of Carrick have come out and said, this is not what we want for where we live. but the structure plan isn't in place yet. So I really feel the frustration. It's just really frustrating. Our planning scheme just doesn't seem to fit community. It seems to fit developers.
Thank you. Open up for any discussion, councillors, questions? Councillor Bill?
Thank you, Chair. The representative's comment about the drop-in session tomorrow, which is basically to go back to the committee and say the position that we're sort of at the moment in terms of the structure plan. Could you, for them and others listening, clarify the time frame, possible time frame as to when we might get to that at end of that process, and we don't even know whether it's successful or not, but tomorrow is not, whilst it's important for the community, it's not pivotal in determining, it's not the end of the process, it's another step in the process, so can we give them an idea of how long that piece of string might be, and in terms of community expectations on what, where they see lot sizes and densities, etc., going forward?
Yes, only because it's been raised and because it's, I guess, in front of us for tomorrow. Normally I would say no to that, Ronnie, because of the... Quick explanation, Krista?
Quick explanation is, yes, we've got drop-in session tomorrow for the draft structure plan feedback. We're hoping to bring that to the June council meeting to get adopted, a structure plan be adopted. It'll depend how many changes need to occur to that document subject to the feedback. And then we will be looking to get the structure plan adopted. Then we need to develop and get approved a specific area plan, which will get inserted into the local provisions of the planning scheme to restrict some of this, put in some of the changes that we want from the structure plan. So we'll be looking at preparing that specific area plan in the second half of this year, which will then go to the Tasmanian Planning Commission for approval.
Yeah. Yep. So just on that, so ultimately the Tas Planning Commission would make the decision. That could be years away. There's no preferential treatment to anybody between now and that future point in time. So any application that comes in Carrick will be subject to the current legislative requirements, and that won't change until there is a legislative change. So we're operating under the legal framework that we are today, and we will do indefinitely potentially, but as the director sort of said, flagged, you know, there's an intent that we're looking at it currently, but it could take some time before we have any change that is, you know, subject to the TPC approving.
Thank you, Jack. Open up for any other discussion, councillors. Right, from my point of view, thanks, Michael, for your presentation. Thanks to the other speaker representing the residents of Carrick. There's probably a bit too many buildings in that envelope for my preference, for my liking. But by the same token, we have a housing crisis at the moment where we have people that have trouble finding somewhere to live. So we are always torn as to what we should be providing and what we would like to provide. I've always said that there's supply and demand. These things wouldn't get built unless there was a demand for them, whether we like them or not. And as has just been said by the chairman and the director, we could be still a fair way down the track from actually getting in what potentially the Carrick residents would like to see for their town. So it's unfortunate that we probably haven't had something in place years ago, but we are working under a statewide planning scheme. And as Council Loader says, it is not one size fits all. As far as the government thinks that it is, it's not. We know that. We need to try and make the changes as they come forward. So I would encourage everybody that's in that Carrick area to go along tomorrow night and make their voices known. But I will be supporting this process, this outcome. Any other comments, councillors, before I go to the motion? No? Councillor Cameron? I'm about to wrap up. Councillor Cameron, as a second on the motion.
Thank you. Look, I think it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, whether you're the neighbour or the community or you're the developer, you probably find this process frustrating. And it also a bit of a pump for tomorrow night, please, if you have opinions on things, and, you know, in this instance, council's going out and asking, please get involved, because it's really important that you take the time now while you've got the opportunity to share your views, because we want to be able to do things that the community wants, but unless we have your views, that makes it really tricky. So please, if you can, go along tomorrow afternoon or respond in some way, and maybe in 10 years' time, maybe. I'm hoping it's less than that, John, you scared me there. It may be a different outcome.
Thanks, Councillor Cameron. Councillor Dunman's moved the motion. Andy Doyle.
Not a great deal, only to say that I think council staff are moving as quickly as they can with the structure plan and their work that they're doing. I don't think it'll be 10 years' time. I think it'll be as soon as we can get it done.
I'm not worried about our bit. I'm worried about the next bit.
Okay.
That's what I meant, sorry.
Right, now put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is Johnson, Cameron, Cronshaw, Dudman, Smedley, Loader, against. Stewart and Temple, thank you. Motion's passed. So council no longer acts as a planning authority. Those that may wish to leave can do so now before we move on to our next part of the council meeting. Thank you for your attendance. Okay, moving on. So page 481, audit panel minutes. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second. Councillor Dunman, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Smedley, thank you. Councillor Dunman, as the mover.
I am happy to have them submitted as read. I don't think there's too much to say to them.
Thank you. Councillor Smedley.
No,
sir. Any discussion, councillors? All right. Put the motion, all those in favour, please raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. We move on to page 494, which is financial reports. Somebody would like to move, somebody would like to second. Councillor Cameron Milligrove, but she was wiping her nose.
Thanks.
Did you second it, Councillor Cameron?
No, I
second it. Oh, that's great, thank you. Councillor Dunman, anything great as a mover?
Look, not a great deal. I say it every time, but it's true. I think that these reports indicate a sound and sustainable financial position from this council, which is something to be commended. It is an approach that is appropriate, especially in the current economic times, and my thanks to staff for the work they do in ensuring that these reports and our finances can be managed in a way that our community would expect.
Thank you. Councillor Cameron?
No, I have highlighted a few things that have got, you know, the higher things that have gone over, but I think we may have had an explanation of some of those before. So, again, I think, you know, a lot of work goes into budgeting for these things, and we're normally pretty right. I suspect sometimes things change, like in the current climate, so I'm happy to accept it as it is.
Thank you. Open up for discussion, councillors. No? Look, I'll reiterate what the councillors have said. Well done to the staff for keeping us in a good financial position. We are lucky, sitting around Mount Valley Council, to be in the situation. Are there other councils out there that would like to be as in a good position as we are? And nothing to add. Councillor Cameron, anything to add? Councillor Dunman, no. Put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous, thank you. Moving on to infrastructure services. I do not have a page number to see.
95.
There we go. Somebody like to the Brackley Fire Station lease. Somebody like to move. Somebody like to second. Councillor Loader, thank you. Seconder. Councillor Cronshaw, thank you. Councillor Loader is the mover.
Just that it's great to support the Bracknell Fire Station, and I believe it's largely or all volunteers, I believe. So it's just a really great thing that council can do to support them.
Thank you. Councillor Cronshaw, anything to add?
Yeah, I'm happy to support this. I think it's a good thing. Like Anne-Marie was saying, a lot of these are volunteers that go to this fire station and did their time. And so, yeah, I'm happy to support it.
Thank you. Any other discussion, councillors? Nothing great. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous again. Thank you. Moving on to Elizabeth Town Fire Station, which is the lease, page 515. Somebody like to move. Somebody like to second. Councillor Loader. Seconder, thanks. Councillor Dudman, thank you.
Chris is scratching my face though.
Councillor Loader.
Same as for Bracknell. Another wonderful fire station looking after our community. Thank you to the volunteers. It's good the council can support.
Thank you. Councillor Dudman.
I concur. These are volunteer fire stations. They are important for our community. They're rural areas. There aren't nearby manned stations. So in an emergency, these volunteers at these fire stations do
an immense amount of work, and their service is well and surely appreciated by myself and this community. So thank you, and it's good to see that we can progress this lease for them.
Councillor Darwin, anything to add? Councillors, from my point of view as a 35-year volunteer firefighter, I appreciate what we're doing for the community, and when the red stuff comes out, we expect someone to turn up to put the wet stuff on the hot stuff. There you go.
Simple as that.
Simple as that. Put the wet stuff on the hot stuff. I hope that goes in. Anything you add? Councillors, if not, for a motion, all those in favour? Oh, say aye. Thank you. Unanimous. Thank you. Yes, thank you, Councillor Loader. We have Westbury Library lease. Councillor Loader has declared an interest. Somebody like to move? Councillor Cameron. Second up. Councillor Smedley, thank you. Councillor Cameron's the mover.
Very happy to support this reading. That it has been providing this service to the people and visitors of Westbury since 1971 from its current location. So happy to support the good work of the Westbury Library.
Thank you, Councillor Smedley.
I'm also an avid reader and like to see that there's still opportunity for people to enjoy books if they get the chance or other services. So, yeah, support this also. Thank you.
Thank you. Any discussions, councillors? No? Put the motion, all those in favour, please say raise your hand. That is unanimous again. Thank you. Moving on to page 521. Thank you, Anthea. Governance of Wellbeing. Somebody like to move, somebody like to second. Councillor Loader, she's in the room and she's there. Is somewhere to be tonight, Councillor Loader?
Huh?
Said somewhere to be. No. Second up, Councillor Dunman, thank you. Councillor Loader has moved the motion.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I love being on this committee. It's great to support.
Hang on.
Am I on the wrong one?
Yeah.
You're on the wrong one, but keep going.
Not too excited.
Not too excited.
I'm not too excited. I'm still really happy to move this one. It's good to see exactly what the council is doing. It's a way for the community to see what's happening. It's accountability and transparency. And I do really believe that people should scan through the agenda of meetings and have a good look at this, because they can see exactly what's happening and what's not happening, and then they can ask appropriate questions.
Good comment. Councillor Duffer, nothing to add. Open up for discussion, councillors. Nothing to add. Put the motion, all those in favour, please say aye, raise your hand. That is unanimous, thank you.
Go again, Amory.
Now, over the page, we have 536 community grants and sponsorship.
Thank you, Amory.
Councillor Dudman, in his hand.
Sorry.
And.
sorry, this is your I am moving a motion, but it's not as printed in the agenda. The only difference, and it has been provided to staff, is that at item 2, the Blackstone Heights Community News Association Easter Sausage Sizzle and Egg Hunt, that is currently recommended for not supporting. I would change that to supporting, and amending the total figures on that basis as well.
Thank you, Councillor Dunman. After a seconder to actually second that motion. Councillor Loader, thank you. So bear in mind, councillors, we have an amended motion which is on the screen, which is slightly different to what's in the agenda. Do you want to add anything, Councillor Dunman, to that?
I would just note that I think, you know, these community grants and sponsorships are an important thing that council can do to support the community. I don't often get to vote on these because I'm usually out with a conflict of interest on community groups that I'm involved with, so it's, you know, a nice change to be able to participate. But across the item, you can see that there is a great deal of work happening in our community to make our community brighter, more vibrant. So my thanks go to the members of our community who step up to put on these events, and also to those participating in sport on a statewide, on a national and sometimes international level as well. In terms of the Blackstone Heights Community News Association, the amendment that I've made, I don't believe that changing this from not supporting to supporting is in any way offending the guidelines, and I think it is something that we should do. The Blackstone Heights Community News Association do a wonderful job with their Easter sausage sizzle each year and the egg hunt. I know the community out there appreciates it, and I think it's very important that council is able to support them in this way. So I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Loader, to second it.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I'm very happy with the amendment. I went to that event. It was fantastic. I reckon there was well over 100, maybe 120 people. Coming down and building community there in Blackstone Heights. It is a really interesting committee to be on, And if other councillors have that opportunity in the future, I would encourage them to do so, because it's a case of working with staff, marrying up the requests with the guidelines and trying to give lots of councils money away, which is always fun. I particularly appreciate the work of the community wellbeing team, because they're the ones who really keep us all on track, because I think councillors would just like to give everyone and support everyone, but they're the ones that really make sure that the decisions we make are in line with our guidelines. So thank you, especially to Nate and to Amy.
Thank you, Councillor. Any other discussion, councillors? Councillor Cameron.
Thank you. I agree, Councillor Loader, it is a good committee. I think, is this my first year offer?
Yes.
Yeah, I miss it. I do like it. And thank you for the work you do on it, because often in those committee meetings you have really strong, robust conversations, and then you come to council and present a recommendation. And I have no doubt that you had a strong, robust conversation around that particular application. And I think since I've been on it, the guidelines have changed slightly, and that would be around projects that might repeat themselves. And so there is a note in the guidelines about applicants have considered long-term strategies to source alternative funding, which I think, again, if you nip over to the council agenda, it does say that discussion's had. But, of course, it isn't a huge ask in the scheme of things, and always bearing in mind how we spend ratepayers' money. But as the other councillors have pointed out, it is an excellent organisation and community group that bring a lot of people together in that area. So I am also happy to support the amended motion. And
thank you.
You might get me back on the committee yet if I can arm wrestle with anyone, because I do quite miss it.
Okay. Any other comments, councillors? If not, Councillor Lowe, anything to add? Councillor Dunn, anything to add? Right, the motion, all those in favour, please say aye. Raise your hand. Are you unanimous? Thank you. Move on to the motion to close the meeting. Councillor Dunn, thank you. Councillor Loader, thank you. For the motion, all those in favour, please say raise your hand. That is unanimous. Thank you. So we close this meeting at 6:16. Thank you for your attendance. We move into closed session.